ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நருத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதீம் வ்யாஸம் ததோ ஜயமுதீரயே. நஷ்ட ப்ராயேஷு அபத்ரேஷு நித்தம் பாகவத சேவயா. பகவதி உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்தீர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் கேன்டோ சாப்டர் 5, நாரத் இன்ஸ்ட்ரக்ஷன் ஆன் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம், டெக்ஸ்ட் 38. இதி மூர்த்தி அபிதானேன மந்திர மூர்த்திம் அமூர்த்திகம் யூஜத் ஜாயதே யஜ்ஞ புருஷம் ஸா சம்யக் தர்ஶனஃ புமான். ஈதி மூர்த்தாபிதானேன மந்திர மூர்த்திம் அமூர்த்திகம் யயதே யஜ்ஞ புருஷம் ஸா சம்யக் தர்ஶனஃ புமான். ஈதி மூர்த்தாபிதானேன மந்திர மூர்த்தி அமூர்த்திகம் யயதே யஜ்ஞ புருஷம் ஸா சம்யக் தர்ஶனஃ புமான். ஈதி மூர்த்தாபிதானேன மந்திர மூர்த்தி அமூர்த்திகம் யஜதே யஜ்ஞ புருஷம் ஸா சம்யக் தர்ஶனஃ புமான். மந்திர மூர்த்தி அமூர்த்திகம் யஜதே யஜ்ஞ புருஷம் ஸா சம்யக் தர்ஶனஃ புமான்.
Yeah.
Matajis. Iti, thus, Murti, representation, Abhidhanena, in sound, Mantra Murtim, form representation of transcendental sound, Amurtikam, the Lord who has no material form, Yajate, worship, Yajna Purusham, Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, Sa, he alone, Samyak, perfectly, Darshanaha, one who can see, Puman, person. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thus, he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who has no material form. Please repeat after me. Thus, he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who has no material form. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Our present senses are all made of material elements, and therefore they are imperfect in realizing the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu. He is therefore worshipped by sound representation via the transcendental method of chanting. Anything which is beyond the scope of experience by our imperfect senses can be realized fully by the sound representation. A person transmitting sound from a far distant place can be factually experienced. If this is materially possible, why not spiritually? This experience is not a vague, impersonal experience. It is actually an experience of the transcendental personality of Godhead, who possesses the pure form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. In the Amarkosh Sanskrit dictionary, the word Murti carries import in twofold meanings, namely form and difficulty. Therefore, Amurtikam is explained by Acharya Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as meaning without difficulty, the transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras or transcendental sound representation. Such sound should be received from the transparent agency of the bona fide spiritual master, and the chanting may be practiced by the direction of the spiritual master. That will gradually lead us nearer to the Lord. This method of worship is recommended in the Pancharatrika system which is both recognized and authorized. The Pancharatrika system has the most authorized codes for transcendental devotional service. Without the help of such codes, one cannot approach the Lord, certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. The Pancharatrika system is both practical and suitable for this age of quarrel. The Pancharatra is more important than the Vedanta for this modern age. Iti murtabhidhanena mantra murtim amurtikam yajate yagya purusham sa samyak darshana puman. Thus, he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. Perceiving that the age of Kali was approaching, Vasudev decided to divide the Vedas in order to make it simplified for the living entities in the age of Kali. The age of Kali has a very special significance in the sense the people in this age have short life, people in this age have a short memory, people in this age are lazy, and people in this age are disturbed by different natural calamities. Therefore, it has been Vasudev considered to divide and simplify the Vedas. And he divided the Vedas in the form of, first he divided the Vedas into four, Rig, Sham, Yaju and Atharva. Then he wrote the Upanishads, the Puranas and Dharma Shastras. Then he wrote Mahabharata, the most simplified form of the Vedas, Vedic teachings. And then he divided, then he gave the Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra is the most simplified, concentrated form of the Vedic understanding in the form of the sutras. But still Vasudev was feeling dissatisfied in his heart. He felt that the work hasn't been properly completed. He felt that his work was not properly accomplished. Therefore, Vasudev decided to simplify. Therefore, Vasudev was sitting on the bank of Saraswati in Badrikashram. And there, Vasudev, when he was sitting in that despondent state, Narad Muni appeared to him. And here, this chapter is describing Narad Muni's instructions to Vasudev. Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. And what did Narad Muni tell Vasudev? Let's go back to the beginning of this chapter. The verse 5. Okay. We go to the verse, the text 2. Narad Muni says, addressing Vasudev, the son of Parashar, Narad Muni inquired, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind or objects of self-realization? So Narad Muni asked Vasudev, are you satisfied identifying the body or the mind as the objects of self-realization. Your inquiries were full and your studies were also well fulfilled, and there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. Then Vasudev say, then Narad Muni is asking again, you have fully delineated the subjects of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu? So then Vasudev admitted. Sri Vasudev said, all you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge due to your being the offspring of one, Brahma, who is self-born without mundane father and mother. So at the beginning, we can see how Vasudev needed to be told what was his mistakes, where he went wrong. And in this way, then Narad Muni started to instruct Vasudev. When Vasudev submitted to Narad Muni that he didn't know where he went wrong, what went wrong. So when he admitted to Narad Muni what went wrong, then Narad Muni started to explain to him. And this particular verse, 38th verse, is saying that thus he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental to the material nature. His transcendental to the material nature means he is fully spiritual. He is beyond this material nature. Therefore, he cannot be perceived with our material senses. He cannot be perceived with material senses. Our senses are material. Our senses are a part of our material body. With the material senses, we can only see the material objects. So anything that is spiritual cannot be perceived by our material senses. Can we see anything beyond matter with our senses? No. Not only matter, we cannot see even all the matter with our material senses. There are 8 kinds of matter, 3 subtle and 5 gross. We cannot even see all the gross material objects with our eyes. With our eyes, we can see only solid objects, earth. We can see liquid, water. We can see fire. So earth, water, fire, we can see with our eyes. But air, we cannot see. Air, we cannot see. But air, we can feel. With touch, we can feel air. Ether, we can perceive in the form of sound. Ether can be perceived with our hearing faculty. But ether, we cannot see. We cannot touch. So in this way, we can see that even the material objects, even the gross material objects, cannot be perceived with our senses properly. Some of them can be, but not all of them. And beyond that, these five gross material senses are mind, intelligence, and false ego. Now, although we have the mind, can we see the mind? Can we touch the mind? Can we hear the mind? No. Then beyond mind is intelligence. That also, naturally, we cannot perceive with our gross material senses. But beyond that is false ego. So that also cannot be perceived with our senses. And beyond that is the spiritual reality. So the spiritual reality is completely beyond our sense perception. The material senses cannot be perceived. Like we know that we have mind, although we cannot see. We know that we have intelligence. We can experience that the intelligence is there. We know that we have ahankar. We can feel that. There is a thing called false ego. But Atma, the soul, is completely beyond sense perception. So that is what has been pointed out here, that the spiritual personality, the supreme personality of Godhead, is beyond, totally beyond our sense perception. Therefore, those who are the actual seer, what do? They see him through the mantras or transcendental sound vibration. Say, for example, the murti, the form of the Lord on the altar may be there, but does everybody see him? Can everybody see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. Most of the people will think that it is a murti carved out of stone. But then when somebody comes and explains to him that this is the Supreme Personality of God, then he can understand who he is. So the sound vibration that explains the Supreme Personality of Godhead is mantra. Now originally these sound vibrations are not material. These sound vibrations comes from the spiritual sky. These sound vibrations came from the spiritual sky. Do we know how it came? You can remember how it came, the sound vibration. At the beginning, Brahma received the sound vibration in the form of Gayatri from the Supreme Personality of God. Brahma meditated upon the sound vibration, and as a result of that, the Vedas, or the transcendental knowledge about the spiritual reality, became manifested in the heart of Brahma. Became manifested in the heart of Brahma. So the knowledge about the spiritual reality first came to this material nature through Brahma. How did it come? It came through the transcendental sound vibration, mantras. Those mantras are known as Gayatri. And when one properly meditates upon the Gayatri under the proper direction of a bona fide spiritual master, then this mantra becomes manifest in his heart. So that is what Narad Muni is pointing out here too. Who is he pointing it out to? He is pointing it out to Lord Brahma. He is pointing it out here to Vasudev. And in this way, Narad Muni instructed Vasudev to write Srimad Bhagavatam, so that people can properly understand who he is, what is his nature, what are his qualities, what are his activities, what are his special what are the purpose of his involvement, or why does he incarnate in this material nature. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the spotless Puran. This is the only Puran that has no tinge of material modes. Other 17 Purans are affected by the modes of material nature. Mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amal Puran. And this Srimad Bhagavatam gives a very clear understanding of the Supreme Personality of God. So the actual Gayatri has expanded into Vedas. Therefore, Gayatri is known as Veda Mata, the mother of the Vedas. From Gayatri, the Vedas became manifested. Therefore, Gayatri is the mother of the Vedas. And the Vedas expanded unlimitedly through different branches, different philosophies. Vedas have different branches. Saranga, six branches of Vedas, six philosophies of Vedas. And then Upanishad, Puran, they're unlimited. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been pointed out that the Vedas are vast. Bhurini, Bhurikarmani, Shrotabhani, Vibhagashya. The Vedas are Bhurini. Bhurini means huge, vast, endless. And Bhurikarmani, in the Vedas, unlimited activities have been prescribed. And until and unless the one has a total understanding of the Vedas, he will not understand the purpose of the Vedas. He will just become caught up with some branches of the Vedas. And by becoming caught up with certain section of the Vedas, one will become confused. Therefore, there is a need to understand the Vedic purport in totality, in complete. And that's why Narad Muni advised Vyasadev to write Srimad Bhagavatam. What is Srimad Bhagavatam is doing? We can see Vyasadev, when he saw that in the age of Kali, people are going to become totally useless. Prayan alpayusha shabhya kala vashmin juge janaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadruta. In the age of Kali, prayana alpo ayusha sabhya. Most of the people in this age will have very short duration of life. Alpo means very little. And ayu means lifespan. Kala vashmin juge jana. People in the age of Kali will have a very short life, short span of life. What's the duration in this age? 100 years only. And then again, how many people live for 100 years? Very few. If one lives for 80 years, we say, oh, he lived for such a long time. He's a grand old man. And as the Kali Yuga will progress, the span will keep on diminishing. It will become shorter. And a time will come, if one lives for 30 years, people will say, oh, he lived for such a long time. Even at the, that means people, most of the people will die before 30. So that's the state of affairs in the age of Kali. So people in this age have very short span of life. And prayan alpayusha sabha kalavashmin yuge jana manda, they'll become very lazy. Sumanda matayo, their mentality will become very crooked. They'll become lazy, they'll become, their mind, their mentality will become crooked. Sumanda matayo, manda bhagya, they'll become very unfortunate and upadruta. They'll be constantly troubled by this material nature. So that is the state of affairs in this age. Why, whereas the Vedas are vast and innumerable activities in the Vedas has been advised in the Vedas, and until and unless one has a complete understanding of the Vedas, one will not understand the mission of the Vedas. What is the purpose of the Vedas? So that's why there was a need for simplifying the Vedas. Vyasadeva did that. He simplified for the understanding of the people. And the simplification came in the form of division of the Vedas and subdivision of the Vedas, and finally Vedanta Sutra. The essence of the Vedas has been presented in the form of Vedanta Sutra. But still Vyasadeva was not satisfied. So now, therefore, Narad Muni is instructing him what to do. The perfectly make the point directly. And who is to be understood in the Vedas? What is the purpose of the Vedas? Vedas have Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. Karma Kanda is prescribing, act in this way, act in such and such way for material benefit. You want to have material benefit? Okay, act in such and such way. That's the Karma Kanda. And the Jnana Kanda is explaining how to become free from the material bondage, liberation. The bhukti and mukti. Enjoyment in the material nature is the purpose of Karmakanda section of the Vedas, and liberation from the material bondage is the purpose of the Jnanakanda section of the Vedas. Now both are actually misleading. By following these some instructions of the Vedas that have been prescribed in the Karmakanda, one can have all kinds of material facilities. But what's the purpose of those material facilities? Is there any ultimate mission? Is there any ultimate achievement in material enjoyment? One may acquire a lot of money, one may acquire a very high position, one may have all the material facilities. Will that be enough for our existence? At the time of death, what will happen? At the time of death, we have to leave everything behind. So all the material prosperities will ultimately come to a big nothing at the time of death. So then the question is, okay, then let us become, material nature is full of meaning, full of useless activities, so let's try to do something to find the proper purpose of the life. What is the proper purpose? Get out of this material nature, liberation. But that is also not the goal of life. That kind of liberation, trying to get out of the material nature, is also not going to fulfill the purpose of our existence. Mukti, liberation, also is not the goal. Okay, someone is in a prison house. If he runs away from prison, does he become liberated? Does he become free from all his difficulties? No. So what is the goal of the Vedas? What is the Vedas trying to tell us? Vedas are, the final instruction of the Vedas is? Rajan lifted his hand. Okay, what is the final instruction of? Karmakanda is the final instruction. Is that is the final instruction of the Vedas? No, I mean, I'm asking whether that is the final instruction of the Vedas? Liberation is the final instruction? Okay. Then Vedas are actually explaining there are two kinds of liberation. Liberation means to become free from bondage, right? Now you are bound in a prison house. In how many ways you can get out of the prison? You can scale the wall and run away. You can dig a tunnel and escape. Will it solve your problem? Will it solve your problem? Because the police will be after you. And when they catch you, you have to hide. And when they catch you, then you'll be subjected to even greater sentence. Right? That is one kind of liberation. Right? Which is negative liberation. But there is a positive liberation. The positive liberation is one is in a prison and he appeals to the king that I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And then the king says, okay, release him. When he understands what was his mistake, why he is in prison, and then he begs forgiveness for his mistakes, then the king may release him. Right? Or he submits himself to the king, and when the king sees that he has become rectified of his perverted mentality, then the king allows him, although in the prison, he tells him, okay, now he is not subjected to any punishment. He is becoming a good person, let's watch him, how he is doing. And then eventually we will see what to do with him. Right? And then the king releases him. Now there are two ways one can get out of the prison. Right? Yes, liberation is the goal, but how to achieve the real liberation? How? So what I told just now, from in this context, what did you understand? In this context, who is the king? Who is the king? Who knows? Who is the king here? When I mention Mother Vendra, the Supreme Personality of God is Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. Right? Why you are suffering in the prison? Who knows why you are suffering in the prison? Is the material nature? What is this material nature? Material nature is the prison house. And are we enjoying this material nature or are you subjected to punishment? Does anybody go to the prison to enjoy? Who goes to the prison to enjoy? First of all, who is put into prison? Who is put into prison? The criminals. The criminals are put into prison. And what is his crime? What is his crime? The crime is, Madhavendra? The crime is that he disobeyed the order of the Supreme King, the Supreme Personality of God. He gave the law, and when he breaks the law, that's a crime. The crime means to break the law. So when one breaks the law, he becomes subjected to punishment. And the material nature is a place of punishment. Now, do we want to be punished? Do we want to suffer? Now, what is the way out for suffering? Liberation actually means freedom from suffering. Liberation is freedom from suffering. Now, if we become subjected to greater suffering, is it liberation? So, if we escape from the prison by some means, then will we become free from suffering, or will we become subjected to even greater suffering? So the greater suffering is not at all desirable. What is desirable is freedom from suffering completely. Attantik dukkha nibritti. Dukkha means suffering. Nibritti means cessation. And attantik means complete. The total cessation of material suffering is called liberation. So how do we become liberated in that sense? By following Gyanakanda? No. The Gyanakanda section of the Vedas doesn't give us a clear understanding of what liberation is. It's simply a matter of mental speculation. But the real cessation from suffering comes from, that's why Vyasadeva is telling Narada Muni to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Give the total understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what does Srimad Bhagavatam instructing? Srimad Bhagavatam through different stages are instructing about who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. What is our relationship with Him? And how can we become situated in our relationship with Him? The defiance to the Lord caused us the bondage in this material nature. Therefore, submission to the Lord is the cessation of that suffering condition. Submit to the Lord. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. That sharanam braja, the surrender, to submit, is the real purpose of our establishing relationship with the Lord. So yes, liberation can be considered to be the goal of life, but then again we have to understand that there are two kinds of liberation. One is a negative liberation, the other is a positive liberation. Actually, there are five kinds of liberations: Sajujya, Sarupya, Samipya, Salakya, and Shashti. Now, Sajujya Mukti is the negative liberation. But Sarupya, Samipya, Salakya, Samipya, Sarupya, Salakya, and Shashti, these are the four kinds of positive liberation. Anyway, we'll discuss about that some other time. The point is, the positive liberation is achieved by submitting to the Supreme Personality of God. And when we submit to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Ishyami. Krishna is giving the assurance. Sarva papibhya moksha ishyami. I'll liberate you, I'll deliver you from all your sinful reactions. Pap or sin is the cause of suffering. We suffer because of a sinful reaction. Now if we become free from sin, there won't be any suffering. And Krishna is saying, ma suchaha, don't worry about it. If you surrender unto me, you'll become free from all your suffering. But what he is pointing out, by ma sucha, don't worry, because what you'll get is much more than just freedom from suffering. What you'll get is enjoyment, ananda. So that is why Narada Muni is instructing Vyasadeva. Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. And it is the duty of the spiritual master to instruct the disciple about the right understanding. And that's what Narada Muni is doing that to Vyasadeva and inspiring him to write Srimad Bhagavatam. And being inspired by Narada Muni, Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite. Vyasadeva has been described as Mahamuni, This Srimad Bhagavatam has been written or presented by Mahamuni Sri Vyasadeva, being instructed by his spiritual master Narada. So in this way, we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate ultimate product of Vyasadeva's endeavor to simplify the Vedas. So if we want to take full advantage of the Vedic scriptures, what do we need to do? Submit to Srimad Bhagavatam, accept Srimad Bhagavatam, understand the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, and mold our lives according to the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Very good question. Paru's question is whether intelligence is a part of our body or the part of our soul. Intelligence is a part of our subtle body. You know how many types of bodies we have? Two types of bodies: gross body and subtle body. Sthula sharir and shukshma sharir. Sthula sharir is made out of pancha mahabhut, earth, water, fire, air and ether. And sthula sharir, shukshma sharir, is made of three subtle elements: man, buddhi and ahankar. So now you tell me whether the mind is the part of our body or the soul. It is a part of our subtle body. But the subtle body after death, at the time of death, we leave our gross body. But the subtle body goes with the soul. Subtle body doesn't die. Right? So the subtle body actually carries the soul to the next body. Now the question is how to become free from the bondage of subtle body. At the time of death, we get rid of our gross body. But how to become free from the bondage of our subtle body? It is by rendering devotional service to the Lord, the mind, intelligence and false ego, these three bodies become spiritual. The three elements or the subtle body become spiritualized. Like with the mind, Krishna is telling, what should you do with the mind? What does mind do? Mind thinks, right? So with the subtle body, with our mind, what should we do? Mind thinks. Who should we think of? We should think of Krishna. Manmana bhava. With the mind, we must think of Krishna. Yeah. So when with the mind we think of Krishna, then what happens? Does the mind remain the way it is, or it becomes spiritualized? With intelligence, when you always consider how you are going to render service to Krishna, then what happens to the intelligence? It becomes spiritualized. And when you become a servant of Krishna, what happens to your false ego? False ego also disappears. So in this way, by rendering devotional service, like thinking of Krishna, serving Krishna, we spiritualize our identity. Then the subtle body disappears. We become free from the bondage of subtle body. So that stage is called the state of Sarup Siddhi, the perfection of one's identity. So in this way one becomes free from the subtle body. And then when one becomes free from the gross body, what happens? He is already free from his subtle body. When he is free from the gross body, at the time of death, he goes back to the spiritual world. That's why rendering devotional service to Krishna is so important. So become a very good devotee. All right? Everybody become a very good devotee of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda, Gaur Premanande Hare Hare.